Good morning, everyone. The reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 40 to 56, to be found on page 1038 of the Church Bibles. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man called Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father God, we pray that we may see your Son in his splendour now as we think about this passage together. Lord, may our response to him this morning be one that honours him, is full of faith, and pleases you. Amen. Well, please be seated and do reach for a Bible and turn to page 1038. If you've got one near you in the pews, or if you've got your own one, turn to Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56. This is the last in our sort of present series that we've been going through, chapter 6, 7 and 8 of Luke's Gospel. We're going to begin the story of Ruth next week. But this is the last one in our current series on Luke. People have many fears in life, but I guess there's nothing more fearful for people to face than disease and death. Being threatened by factors outside of us is one thing, but when our own bodies start to work against us and our own mortality becomes painfully evident, then we feel most vulnerable. Well, in our passage today, we see the power of Jesus versus death and disease. But this passage is not purely about Jesus' power. It's very much a lesson in how to respond when we face these fears in life, as we'll see. So let's look at the story together. We begin in verses 40 to 42 as we see Jesus and the desperate father. Well, the drama begins in verse 40 when Jesus arrives back. Jesus arrives back from the Gerasenes, which was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the crowd that he had been teaching earlier in chapter 8 is waiting for him. And in the crowd there is a man called Jairus, who is ruler of the synagogue. He would have been the one who would have overseen what took place in the synagogue. He would have organised the services on the Sabbath and the like. His position meant that he was well known by all, well respected, a man of status and recognition. And yet this man of public standing comes publicly falling at Jesus' feet, and he begs him to come to his house. See, Jairus was desperate. Desperate because his only daughter was dying. We're told that she was about 12 years of age. Now, dads are naturally protective of their daughters, and they go out of their way to provide for their needs. And so we understand why Jairus throws all dignity to the wind and he falls at Jesus' feet, imploring him to come to his house. And Jesus went with Jairus without hesitation. It's a wonderful reminder that Jesus cares for people who come to him. He's always ready to help those who come in desperate need. But from Jesus and a desperate father, we turn to Jesus and the unclean woman. See, as Jesus follows Jairus, the crowd were jostling around him and pressing in against him. Everyone was trying to get near him. And Jairus must have been intensely frustrated. Jesus in the crowd is like an ambulance being held up in the traffic. And things are about to get even more strained for Jairus. Because there's one person in particular who was intent on getting close to Jesus that day too. Someone who is at the other end of the social spectrum to Jairus. It was a woman, verse 43. A woman who had a condition of menstrual bleeding that had lasted for 12 years. 12 years. So while Jairus had enjoyed 12 years of blessing with his daughter, this lady had suffered 12 years of bleeding. And that alone. You see, her condition meant that she was in a perpetual state of ceremonial uncleanness. An uncleanness that the Old Testament said meant that she would be excluded from religious and social life because of her condition. Meant she had to live as an outcast. She would not have known the comfort of human touch during those 12 years. No physical affection, no cuddles, no handshakes, no holding of a child's hand, no kiss of welcome, no joy of being able to stroke a newborn baby's cheek. She couldn't go to worship at the synagogue. There was no Bible study she could attend. And her uncleanness would have ended her chance of marriage. If she had been married, she would have had no intimacy during all that time. And almost certainly, her husband would have divorced her. You see, her condition had left her desperate, lonely. And to top it all off, she was destitute. Because the footnote in verse 43, which many other translations include in the text because it's in some of the earliest manuscripts, well, it tells us that she'd spent all her money on medical treatment. Treatment that had done no good whatsoever. It meant she was even worse off than she was before. But this lady had heard of Jesus. And she believed that he could make her well. And that day was her opportunity. For the crowd's focus on Jesus meant that her identity was somewhat protected. She could, she wasn't supposed to mix with others, but she knew that because of the crowd, she could perhaps sneak up on Jesus without people knowing. And she believed that if she could just touch the edge of his clothing, she would be healed. And in the pressing and jostling of the crowd, she managed to get close enough to do just that. She reached out and she touched the edges of his garment, and her bleeding stopped immediately. Instant healing. Without anyone noticing. Well, almost. Because Jesus noticed. And he stopped and he asked, "Who was it that touched me?" Verse 45. Jesus knew that something significant had happened, that power had gone out of him to heal someone. But he's not asking the question, "Who touched me?" because he didn't actually know. Jesus is asking because he's giving this lady an opportunity to come forward. It's a bit like a parent who comes home and finds the living room in a complete mess, with crisps and beakers of half-drunk squash everywhere, and they say in a loud voice, "Who made this mess in the lounge?" And they know only too well it's their two children. But they ask the question because they want them to own up. And so, knowing that she can't hide from Jesus, the lady comes forward, trembling and falling down at his feet. And in the presence of everyone, she explains why she touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. And how beautiful the words of Jesus are to her in verse 48. He says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Do you know, Jesus never called anyone else daughter. So why this lady? Well, if you think about it, she has no father figure, no man in her life who's looking out for her like Jairus was for his daughter. She had no one to rush and get Jesus for her. She was on her own. And so Jesus is saying, "I'm looking out for you. I'm here to give you that fatherly care, that tenderness that you need. You're part of my family now." And calling her forth, Jesus was establishing that personal relationship with her. And he was announcing her healing and cleansing to all, enabling her to be reintegrated into society. It meant that she can now visit homes. She can now help out at the local mums and tots group. She can even hold a baby. Note that Jesus is quick to identify that the key to her healing was her faith in him. And that's really a good example of what faith is really here in this context. What real faith in Jesus is. What is it? It's reaching out to Jesus in your deepest need and believing that he can help. That's what faith is. Reaching out to Jesus in your deepest need and believing he can help. And this lady's faith in Jesus is what healed, or we could translate, saved her. You see, the Greek word for healed here is exactly the same word as translated salvation. Healed and translate and healed and salvation are the same word in the original language. And so this lady's healing is actually a picture of salvation. You see, all of us in some ways are like this lady. We too are unclean from a deeper, more serious uncleanness, which is our sin. And we've spent our money on things that just don't work, to put it right. But Jesus can make us clean. And we, like this lady, need to reach out to Jesus with faith. And as we do that, Jesus doesn't catch our uncleanness. Instead, we catch his wholeness. And we receive peace with God. And cleansing with God. This lady's blood made her unclean. But curiously, Jesus' blood shed on the cross makes us clean. If you've yet to reach out to Jesus in faith, will you reach out to him today? Don't worry that there are many others reaching out to him too. Because in a sea of a million hands, Jesus can see the one that is reaching out to him in faith today. The desperate father, the unclean woman, and now Jesus and the dead girl. Can you imagine how Jairus must have been feeling while all this was going on? This woman was acting like a roadblock to Jesus healing his daughter. And as Jesus finished his words to the lady, the tragic news arrives in verse 49. Messengers come saying that it's too late. Don't bother Jesus anymore because, tragically, Jairus, your daughter is dead. It's too late. But before the smouldering wick of Jairus' faith is extinguished, Jesus speaks words that fan his faith back into flame. Hearing this, hearing that she's died, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." So Jairus is faced with this decision. Will he have faith in Jesus, or will he fear? And as he considered whether to break down and cry or to take Jesus at his word, there in front of him was the lady that Jesus had just healed, because Jesus said she believed, she had faith. You see, this roadblock was actually the object lesson that Jairus needed. And so, faced with fear or faith, Jairus chose faith in Jesus. We know that because otherwise he would never have led Jesus to his house. And on arrival at Jairus' house, Jesus met the mourners already in full flow. He tells them not to weep because the girl isn't dead, she's only sleeping. And they laugh in bitterness at Jesus at making such an absurd claim. Why does Jesus say that she's sleeping when everyone else knows she's actually dead? Well, it's because from Jesus' viewpoint, her death is only temporary. For Jesus to raise someone from the dead, well, it's no more difficult than for a parent to go and wake a child that's having an afternoon nap. And that's pretty much what Jesus did to this dead girl, because he went into her room and he took her by the hand and he said, "My child, get up." And instantly her spirit returned, and she was up at once. In fact, she looked so well, no one even thought of giving her something to eat. Jesus had to tell them to give her some food because this little girl was going to be outside playing with her friends that afternoon. Such is the power of Jesus over death. He just says to a dead child, "My child, get up." She's alive. As we finish, I wonder, who do you identify with most in this story? Maybe it's the woman. Perhaps you too have known years of painful suffering. If so, may this woman's example encourage you to reach out to Jesus in faith so that his power might flow through your life. Jesus may grant you physical healing. He can and he does heal today, but he will spiritually heal everyone who comes to him and cleanse them from sin. Do you need to reach out to Jesus today? for health issues? Do you need to reach out to Jesus today to have your sin cleansed? Or perhaps you identify with Jairus. Perhaps you too have a loved one who is in desperate need of Jesus' touch. Maybe even a child or a grandchild. Well, like Jairus, will you come to Jesus? Will you fall down before him? Will you invite him to your home so that he can come and minister to your family? But if we are like Jairus today, we must allow Jesus to operate on his timing. You see, Jesus allowed the little girl to die before he raised her up. And some of us will need to wait until that final day before we too see the restoration of those we love who are in the Lord. But Christ can come into your home now. And he can transform your distress. And he can give you hope for you and your loved ones now. Will you reach out in faith to Jesus for them today? And then finally, there's Jairus' daughter. Do we identify with her? Because the reality is that one day we will all find ourselves just like this little girl, because death will catch up with us all, either through a tragic accident or through disease or through old age. And even if we do come like this lady and get our physical our physical issues dealt with by the Lord now, even if he does heal us now, we all will still eventually die. 100% of the people that Jesus healed or raised to life in his earthly ministry are dead in the ground today. And even this little girl eventually died again. But faith in Jesus as the one who has power over death means that death will not have the last word on her or you if you put your faith in Christ. Because Jesus' raising of that little girl is a sign for what he will one day do for all of his people. But just as Christ woke that little girl from the dead, well, when he returns, he will speak his word again. And we shall awake from death. And like that little girl, we will see his glorious face before us. And we will be given food to eat at his banqueting table. Whatever we're facing today, let's not fear, but let's reach out in faith to Jesus. He has kindness, compassion, power and grace for all who reach out to him in faith. Let's just spend a few moments responding to what we've heard in our hearts. Let's reach out to Jesus for whatever we're facing personally at this time. Father God, we thank you so much for the almighty power of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for every miracle that he did, pointing us to his power and authority. Thank you that this is the evidence we need to be able to trust him for whatever we are facing in our lives today. We thank you for that certain cleansing that he gives through the cross. That as we reach out to him in faith, we receive that forgiveness we need. That cleansing from sin we need, that peace with you we need more than anything. We thank you that as we reach out in faith, Christ has power to sustain us and strengthen us and transform any situation we're in. Father, please help us to keep trusting in your Son, even when there seems to be like roadblocks in the road, aren't somehow stopping the ministry of Christ we need in our lives now. Help us to trust him, Lord, even when what we long for isn't happening yet. Father, we thank you for that final day when all our suffering will be over, when death itself, that Christ has won the victory over, will one day be dispelled forever. We thank you for that glorious prospect. Keep us trusting in your Son now, we pray. And help us, Lord, to be those who share Jesus with others, because he is the one our whole world needs more than anyone else, anything else. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen.